I'm going to be preaching with the topic of no God, no peace. That's N-O, God, and that's N-O, peace. And then, no God, no peace. That's K-N-O-W, God, K-N-O-W, peace. So that means without God, we don't have peace. And but when we have God and when we know God, we do have peace in our heart. I want to read for you in your hearing is verses of scripture, Matthew the 20th chapter, the 1st through the 14th verse. It's a parable of the landholder and the workers in the vineyard. Starting at verse 1, it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a landholder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. That, and they went out their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. But he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye will receive. So when evening has come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have bore the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one and said to them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take what that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And so the last was first, and the first was last. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen. You know, this parable, we all know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in this parable, God used this a householder as the image of God, the first, the image of the nation of Israel, who the gospel was given to first. And we all know that the nation of Israel rejected the gospel, claiming to be the body of Moses, and they still do cling to that identity. But they rejected the gospel. It was given to them first, and then it was given to them again, and they still rejected it. But the last represents the Gentiles, who not only received the gospel, but they received the gifts and the talents of preaching the gospel, of the power of the New Testament, healing and all the things that the gospel was preached to them. And so the Jews were jealous of the Gentiles and still are, because they saw that God had started to work with the Gentiles. You know, in the last, when they paid the same amount to the ones that came last, to the ones that came first, they became angry and said, and began to murmur, that we've been here toiling all day long, and they give these people the same amount as we get. When you come to church and you give your life to Christ, and you come up and the pastor accepts you to the church and he says, we're going to extend the rights and fellowship in church, the same rights as every other member here. You're now a full-fledged member. Well, there are people that have been here for a long time, and they're extended the same rights, the same salvation, the same pastor, the same everything as the new member. And we, because that's how it is in God's kingdom, it's not what we want, it's what God wants. It's what God has commanded us to do, and not we ourselves. But you know, I was looking at this text, and one of the things that I began to see is, I don't know if you ever seen the people standing out in front of Home Depot looking for work. And some get hired early. And I could just see the ones that got hired in the third hour waiting around just wondering if they was going to get a job that day. And then later on, the people that still haven't been hired after the third hour wondering if they was going to be able to put food on the table. And then you get down to the 11th hour and people are standing around thinking, well, you know, no Christmas presents, no dinner, you know, what am I going to do? Then the landowner comes and hires them. It's interesting what the conversation that took place with the ones that came the first hour and the landowner, what he said, what they said to him, that they felt like they had been cheated, and that he had given the other ones as much as he gave them. And he said to them, is it unlawful for me to do with mine what I choose? Well, they had agreed to work for a penny for a day. Now, I suppose if I was a landowner, I would be thinking, you know, every time I went out and hired somebody, I made your day easier for you. I had more people come in to finish the work up. You know, I have a vineyard that I need to take care of. You know, who are you to tell me who I can hire and what I should pay them? You know, we have to be very careful. The Bible says that we should not covet another man's, we should not covet another person's belongings. You know, we know from the outside when we see people, we know what we see on the outside, but you never know what a person is going through on the inside. You know, one of the things that I was thought about too in this conversation with the ones that have came first and the landowner, and that is that some people don't want to do good. They don't want to be nice to nobody, and don't want you to be nice either. He actually said to him, "What is it to you that I'm kind? You know, what business of yours?" He said, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" They don't want to do good. They don't want to do good, and don't want to see you do good either. You know, I talked about those that came at the 11th hour being the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the gospel went out to the Jews first, the Samaritan second, which were the half Jews, and then into Samaria and to all the ends of the world. And so it reached the Gentiles late. And so the 11th hours represent the Gentiles. But then I thought about, what about St. John? What about our church? How does this apply to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, this was written to the Jews, but it was written for our learning. It was written for us. It was written to the Jews, but it was written for us, our understanding. And how does it apply? Well, some of us have been members here for a long time. And then some of us joined in the 11th hour. And I was bringing up when we joined the church, when the hand, right hand of fellowship is extended, where it said that all of the benefits of memberships are extended to you just like everybody else in this church. God is the one that saves us. It's his choice who he will save and who he won't save. It's not up to us to decide who should. And then also, it's not up to us to say who's going to have what gifts. There's been conflict in the church over people speaking in tongues, people having different gifts. And the problem is it's not about the gifts. It's not about the person. It's about what God is doing. If you have a gift just because God is using you, that gift is given to you to benefit the church. It's not for your own reputation, to build up your own reputation. We just celebrated our pastor's 7th anniversary. And I've been mostly quiet. In the programs, usually there's somebody that's there to preach, somebody to speak, somebody to sing, thank God. And so I mostly have been quiet. But I want to take the time to say something that I believe that we can all do. And I want to just share this with you. Whether you've been here for a long time or whether you've been here for a short time, what we can all do for our pastor for his anniversary is we can be the kind of church that he would want to come in and be the pastor of. We could be the kind of followers that would give him opportunity to implement his vision and to get behind him and doing the things that we need to do for this church to grow. Starting by having a good attitude. That could go a long way. That could go a long way. When you meet new people, we can extend our welcome to them, invite them in, and help them to become a part of the church. Putting in the church first, put the church before ourselves. You know, the prosperity gospels have done a lot of damage, I believe, for people coming into church. And they talk about a state of happiness like nirvana. And I don't know if you know what that is, but for the Buddhists, that's a state of bliss, where everything is wonderful. And sometimes when you listen to the prosperity preaching, you're disappointed because it's just, for you, it's not that good. After you've been in church for a while, you start looking around and go, you know, where's mine? You know, I put in 1,000, I didn't get back 10, you know. When you read Isaiah 53:3 says, he was disposed and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Suffering is our way to God. and God's way to us. False teaching teach coming to God is the end of sorrow, sickness, and pain. And that is not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is God will be with you through pain and suffering, and he will be with you, he will be your help in a very time of need, a very present help. This is what the Bible teach. Suffering is part of life, but not only that, but it's a part of the Christian life. And what the Bible teaches is that if we're going to have to suffer, let it be for the Lord. Let the Lord be glorified in our suffering. Right. Don't just suffer out of your own selfishness. The gospel was given to the Jews first, then to Samaritans. You know, he went out in the sixth hour, and he saw those standing around, and he hired them also. You know, the Gentiles and the Jews had the gospel before us, and what they did was they kept it within themselves. They didn't take it out beyond their walls. They didn't take it out beyond themselves. They just wanted for them and those that look like them. You know, I want to say that when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, the Jews were jealous. But how can we apply it to St. John? Well, one of the things I've come to find out is that we have to go out beyond our doors. We have to reach out to those in the community. And we have to have a zeal for the gospel, for our belief, what we believe. Do we believe it to be true? You know, when it's all said and done, one of the things that I know that about what I believe is that when it comes down to when I'm facing uncertain times, even death itself, that God will be with me.
Right.
That I'll be able to get through whatever it is that I'm going through, as long as I have God. I've heard it said that when you don't have nothing left but God, that's when you find out that God is all you need.
Right.
And sometimes they come to that. Sometimes we have to come to the point where we turn to God, everything else has failed us, and then when we see God bring us through, then we understand that God is all we need. Matthew 27:1 says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Then they said unto him, let him be crucified. So then released he Barabbas unto them, when he had scourged, Jesus had been delivered to him to be crucified. Now, ain't that just like the world today, where you see the most worst, the killer, the criminal, the insurrectionist, they cried out for him. And then the innocent man, what they said was, crucify him. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and reed in his hand, and they bowed down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail the King of the Jews. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And when came out, they found a man, Syrian, Simon by name, him and compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar and drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted his garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And they set upon him an accusation, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe. You know, that's something like some people. If you do something, you do this or you do that, then I'll believe. You know, God is not going to come back and die again on the cross for you to believe. He came that one time. He died on the cross. He paid the price for you and me. And he won't do it again. Because if you don't believe this time, you ain't going to believe the second time either. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus, when he had cried again, a loud voice yielded up the ghost. And behold, the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves opened up, and many bodies of the saints were slept rose. You know, when Jesus died, a lot of things happened. But one of the things, don't miss this, that the temple, the curtains of the temple, this thick curtain that was between the priests and that was in between the holies of holies and the rest of the sanctuary was ripped from top to bottom. And then we gain access to God. Now we can kneel and pray to him without having to go through a priest. Right. You know, God gave his only begotten son that we should have a right to the tree of life. He has been merciful to us. Shouldn't we not be merciful to others?
Right.
You know, if we want to be the kind of church that our pastor would want us to be, then we would forgive one another. We would love one another. We would work with one another. And we would make this happen, that we would make sure that we do all we could that this church would live on to the next generation. You know, Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed dead for 3 days. But early on Sunday morning, he rose again.
Yes,
he rose with all power in his hand. He rose with the power to heal the sick. He rose with power that we too might have a right to the tree of life. Amen.